Today we're pleased to be joined on the line right now by Peace River MLA Dan Williams, who I know is usually a very busy guy, but we certainly appreciate you taking the time to take a few minutes to join us here today.
I'm very happy to, Kyle.
All right, I got a few things we want to cover with you today. First one we want to talk about is the province make the announcement this week about increased funding for palliative and end-of-life care. I know this was something that you were kind of heavily involved with. I want to get some of your thoughts on that announcement coming from the province.
Yeah, this is really the completion of what was a platform commitment to spend millions upon millions. In fact, this last announcement is another $11 million going towards palliative care province-wide with innovative programs. Alberta already has been a leader, not just in Canada, but internationally when it came to palliative and end-of-life care. But there was still lots of work to be done. So after lots of consultation that I had done across the province from Medicine Hat all the way up to GP and everywhere in between, spoke to folks in all sorts of different communities, Indigenous communities, lots of long-term care centers, hospice societies, and we put out this request for folks to say if there are places we think we can improve for caring for the elderly, for the sick, for those who have life-limiting illnesses, so you know diseases that are going to continue to be with them for the rest of their life. How can we as a province better serve? Because a lot of money goes into healthcare, but it needs to end up helping patients. It needs to end up helping Albertans. That's the reason why we have a healthcare system. And this is a massive step forward when it comes to palliative and end-of-life care, which, let's be honest, Kyle, is going to go through or have a family member go through. So it's really impactful and a really important time in life of Albertans, and I'm really glad the government's called through its commitment.
And with this kind of announcements like this, how will this sort of improve healthcare, especially in rural areas like we got up in our neck of the province here?
Yeah, so a lot of it is driven around community supports and services. Of course, there's education and there's training, early access and research and innovation, but a big part is surrounding when it comes to communities and accessing services. So I noticed during my consultation and working through and talking with people who work and live and have experienced palliative end-of-life care that different communities have different levels of service. If you're in Edmonton or Calgary, for example, or even other centers like Okotoks or some of these other bigger communities, you can have really, really good access to this care. But some communities, in rural settings in particular, Indigenous communities, other communities, for example, if you're homeless in an urban center, it's really tough to get access to this. And I think palliative and end-of-life care support for people in what is the most vulnerable time should be universal, should be everyone getting access to this. That's why we have taxes, why we have a system of healthcare like we have. So a big part of it is trying to balance out access, and that means particularly the communities like ours. So there are a number of different pilot projects going on through this $11 million that are meant to be the first step towards expanding healthcare in rural communities.
Another thing I know that you're involved with in the province is the different sort of caribou task force for different regions of the province. I know you've been involved in some of the committees on that. What is some of the kind of work that you've been kind of getting done there?
Well, our first task force that I was a part of and I was the chairman for is the BISTU range task force, and that work has been largely completed on my part now, and we're moving on now to looking at creating recommendations for a draft plan for the Chinchaga caribou range, which is, folks who are familiar with the area, sort of west of Manning, quite a large area. And it's going to be an important one. We have a lot of important community interests there. Of course, we want to make sure we continue to protect the caribou, but we also want to make sure that our economy, that oil and gas activities get to continue. We don't box ourselves in, but we get to develop that resource, that Albertan zone, responsibly. That forestry, probably the most important backbone industry in that area and probably in my whole constituency, gets to continue to work. It is, to be fair, the most sustainable resource-based industry that I know of in my constituency. It's wonderful to see the work that they do in the forestry industry, and so we have to continue doing that. Of course, we want to continue to see agriculture opportunities in that area. And also recreation. It's a huge important part of why we live in the north, is we have access to the most beautiful wilderness. We want to preserve that wilderness, but also preserve access to it. So we don't want to see parks and moratoriums and sanitization of our communities. We want to see a working landscape, one that preserves caribou, one that also preserves economic opportunities and our communities and our way of life for generations to come. So that's the work we're doing now. We have a number of different folks from industry, from not-for-profits, from indigenous groups, from recreation societies, all working together. And so we're midway through that process now, and we should be wrapping up the on-the-ground work here by the end of 2022, and then there'll be time for a public consultation with anything that comes forward afterwards. So happy to chat with you guys when we finally get that draft plan, and we're talking to folks publicly about the steps forward sometime in 2023.
You kind of touched on a little bit there, you know, the economic impacts of different things. And one thing I've noticed a lot recently is that, you know, with some of the less restrictions we've had in Alberta this summer, that's seen quite a bit of boost to tourism. In fact, I've talked with several MLAs over the summer that mentioned that, you know, a lot of events that they have in their communities have seen a lot more people out there. That's you know, helped bring in more tourism dollars. What are kind of some things that you've kind of noticed in some of the different events in the region when it comes to sort of tourism and getting sort of more people up here with some of the big events that we have here?
Well, I think Peace Country is the hidden jewel of Alberta. And I think that it's been started, it's on the cusp of what is going to be a renaissance when it comes to tourism in the province of Alberta. We're seeing more and more increasingly the trend in tourism is for folks to stay locally. Folks have discovered through COVID, this is a silver lining, the beautiful country that we have in Canada, particularly in Alberta. And so we're seeing everything from RV sales to outdoor recreation sales going through the roof. A lot more tourism is local. And folks in Alberta are not afraid to come up north and to see the beautiful country that we have in Peace Country. So campsites are more full than they have been in years past. Record numbers. You have a terrific year for weather in Peace Country as well. So I'm seeing at local events, I'm seeing as I'm going around grocery stores talking to people over the summer, they're not just from my neck of the woods. They're from Calgary. They're from, you know, interior BC. I even meet folks from out of country, the states and other places who wanted to come to understand and better experience the true Canadian North. And there's no better place than Peace Country. So I think there's a huge opportunity for us. And I, of course, work closely with tourism organizations like Mighty Peace Tourism and others at the municipal level, and with Tourism Alberta and the Minister of Jobs, Economy, and Innovation to make sure that we're expanding access to tourism. And we have an aggressive plan in the United Conservative government to double the amount of tourism in 10 years. Now, COVID, sure, it slowed us down, but with the growth we've seen this year, we might still be able to make good on that.
And finally, whenever we have a guest join us here at the Trending 55 Odyssey, we look to throw in a little personal question. Now, I know, Dan, you've got a bit of a young family there yourself with your wife and your son there. You know, a lot of people like to do big family activities in the summertime. What were kind of some interesting things that your family got up to during this summertime?
Oh, we went hiking. We went hiking a lot. We got to spend a lot of time a little bit in the mountains, He just loves spending the outdoors. My son is just over a year old, so I'm carrying him on my back, but that's only paying forward. He's going to be carrying me in a couple of years, I hope, up and down the mountain. But we've enjoyed a lot of time outside with the great weather we've had.
Well, I'll let you get back to enjoying some of that great weather we got here. Peace River MLA Dan Williams, thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks, Cal. Chat with you soon.